a prophecy, a interpretation, a praise. Good. Did you do anything to help someone? Did you help anybody? Did you love your spouse? Did your relationship grow there in 95? Did you do anything in your house of worship? Did you clean any commodes? Did you vacuum? Did you cut any grass? And just show up on Sunday mornings, pastors. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm not beating you. I'm just leading you. I want you to look in Psalms 6. Psalm 6. The scriptures encourage us to remember. To remember. The Lord God says, I will remember my covenant with you. Aren't you glad? That's right. Sometimes we don't feel worthy to draw on that covenant. It's not developed on your worthiness. Is it? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it's only developed on His righteousness, Jesus Christ, and His blood, and that we are made righteous through Him? We are made the righteousness in Christ Jesus, righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so what we've coming to a place of remembering today. God says, I remember my covenant. The Bible instructs us in Deuteronomy to remember all the way of the Lord. The Bible says the Lord remembers His mercy. Hallelujah. New Testament encourages us to remember Lot's wife. What does that mean? Huh? Don't look back. Huh? That's right. Get out of the house. Go on. Go on. Go on in God. Remember Lot's wife. Thief said to Jesus on the cross, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus told us that the Holy Ghost would bring all things to our remembrance. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. God remembered Cornelius. Do you remember why? Or his almsgiving. His almsgiving. And then the revelation tells us that the prayers of the saints come up as a remembrance to the Lord. And we're encouraged in the scriptures to remember. And here in Psalm 6, if you can't remember, you were admonished today to remember what the Lord had done for you this year. And if you're having problems with that, then you might be dead. Psalm 6, verse 4 says, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Oh, save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance or mention of thee. King James says remembrance. The Holy King James Version says remembrance of thee. Remembrance. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? What does that mean to you and me? Should we be remembering something the Lord's done? If not, we could be in a grave, a living grave, but yet a grave, and we could be out of the place of the Lord where the Holy Ghost will bring to our remembrance these things. And so we want to see that the Lord is dealing with us. He says there, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Again, we don't have anything to do with that soul fixing. He restoreth my soul. I present myself to Him, and then He takes over. My problem is letting Him take over. I still want to fix it. I think my ways are better than His ways. In reality, they're not. He doesn't move fast enough for me sometimes. And I want to fix everything. But he restoreth my soul. We can't do anything about that. And I want to talk today about remembering. First of all, I want to remember what happened this year on the television, through the media, the major events that took place. And I've been working pretty diligently on this and pretty hard, spent a lot of time yesterday doing this. And I want you to kind of go through this with me and allow the Lord and the Holy Ghost to bring back to your remembrance what mess we live in. But yet involved in that mess, there are some good things. And then I want to bring it down into our house and what God has done in this house of the Lord in this year. So let's enjoy this, sit back, and just look at the pictures and enjoy it. Put the first one up there for me, Galen. On January the 4th, the Senate and the House of Representatives changed. For 40 years, the Democratic Party had ruled and reigned. But all of a sudden, after 40 years, it changed. And Newt Gingrich and Senator Dole took over. They took over. And the House and the whole Congress began to change. And you've seen and lived in the effects of that all year long. We've seen battle budgets. We've seen, budget battles. But either way, we've seen it. We've seen them come toe-to-toe, and we've seen things happen, and talking about health care and those kinds of things. And the people that are hollering the most about the health care situation are the people that allowed this to go on for a generation. I don't think it's right for my generation or your generation to fix what the generation before me has messed up. Amen? And everybody wants the goodies, but nobody wants to pay. Right? And so now we're in this dilemma where we're in the trillions of dollars of debt for our nation. And we're talking about a balanced budget in 7 years. I don't have a picture for this one. But on April the 17th, there was a massive earthquake in Kobe, Japan. 4,000 people died. Remember that? Remember that? Put the next one up. April the 19th, a huge car bomb in the back of a Ryder rental truck exploded, destroying a federal building in Oklahoma City. People were killed, we know. And others have yet to be found. The building was demolished. In August, two men were arrested for that tragedy, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. They're now awaiting their trial. Put the next one up. In May, we watched as a virus broke out in Zaire. And a virus that nobody could do anything called Ebola took 244 lives. Put the next one up. In June, Air Force Captain Scott O'Grady was shot down on a NATO patrol mission over Bosnia. But somehow he managed to avoid those trying to catch him. Lived on worms and grubs and leaves and for 6 or 7 days. And then there was a valiant and a very special, very, very special rescue. Put the next one up. In July, there was several big league media mergers. Walt Disney bought ABC. Westinghouse bought CBS. And Ted Turner merged with Time Warner. Now that's going to somehow affect what we pay for and what we see on the media. That's going to have some effect. That is big. That is a big move right there. I'm one of these people that I believe that something that major had to get the approval of God. Now I don't know what that really means, but I know those were big things. You just don't hear of ABC selling or CBS selling, you know. Those are big. Put the next one up. I know most people do not agree with my position on end times. I really think that we're living in a time when the devil is being released again. I think we've been living in the reign of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says anyway. He is king. He's not going to be. He has been. 2,000 years. This is the year of our Lord, 1995, soon to be 1996, and we've been living in the year of our Lord for nearly 2,000 years. And I think his reign has been that long time. He's been king. He's not going to be king. I think we live in a time, and this particular one kind of depicts that. And I believe the devil is released upon the earth. He's being released, and he knows he has but a short time. He's working his demise. Television screens begin to have the faces of these two young men, these two young babies, two young children, two beings. A woman named Susan Smith said her car was carjacked. Went on for several days with their faces being flashed on the screen. Then finally, Susan Smith, put the next one up, confessed that what she actually did was strap her two children in the back seat of her car and pull up to a lake and physically push the car into the lake and watch the car sink with those two children strapped in it. She went to trial, found guilty, but rather than the death penalty, they opted to give her life in prison. No picture for the next one. A great hero, a guy I used to watch when I was a youngster coming up, wanting to be like him, I thought. He died of cancer after cirrhosis of the liver and after a liver transplant. Mickey Mantle died. We need to be careful who we allow to become the heroes of our children. Next one. After about 2.5 years of legal battles, Shannon Faulkner decided that she wasn't going to be a cadet at the Citadel. And that was really a slap in the face to women's rights movements. And, you know, they didn't like that. I don't have a picture for this next one. But now we're in September, and baseball strike's over, and I'll talk about sports in just a second. But a guy named Cal Ripken broke a record that had been set for years and years and years by a wonderful player of baseball called Lou Gehrig. And Cal Ripken played in his 2,131st consecutive baseball game. Now, if you're not a sports fan, that doesn't mean anything to you. But what he did, what this will mean something to you, is he excelled at what he did. What he did it well. I don't care who you are or what you're made of, you will appreciate somebody that can do that. Amen. Got up out of bed every day. How did you do it? Well, I got up every day. I put my clothes. I went to the ballpark. I did what I was doing well. And I don't care who you are or what you are or what your age is. Do whatever you do, the Bible says, with all of your might. Whatever you put your hand to, do it. I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to most folks, but if you've ever played sports much, you know the pressure that puts on your body, the bruises and the bumps and the things that you just get. And he was able to do that, 2,131 games that he broke the record with, and I think right now he's like at 2,150 games or something, and he's still going. He's still going. Put the next one up. veteran Republican Senator Bob Packwood from Oregon had a ethics committee to investigate him, and they recommend that he would be expulsed, the expulsion of Senator Packwood. They accused him of sexual misconduct, peddling, and obstruction. What bothers me about this is veteran Republican Senator Bob Packwood. This is veteran government. This is veteran. This is what's sitting there representing us. This is what is leading us. And he's a Republican because my opening statement was on January 1st. May have sounded like I'm a Republican. I'm not. I'm a Christian. Amen. It just so happens that that party aligns with more what I feel like the Bible teaches. And so I have to go with that, which is the closest. But I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat. I'm a Christian. Next one. In October, the United Nations celebrated its 50th anniversary. And many, many leaders from all over the world came and gathered together, and they all spoke, I think. Put the next one up. Even invited and spoke at this was Pope John Paul. He came in his fourth visit to America, and he was talking about how necessary the United Nations are in peacekeeping. There's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. Put the next one up. In October again, nearly a million black males poured into Washington, D.C. for what's been called the Million Man March, organized by Louis Farrakhan. Of course, they were marching for non-prejudice. But when you really hear what they were really talking about and trying to provoke into the people, it wasn't about non-prejudice. It was about being prejudiced. Put the next one up. In October again, Fox River Grove, Illinois. School bus stopped at a... I don't know if you can make that out very well. School bus stopped at a railroad crossing with the back end hanging over the tracks and a train come by, a commuter train. 7 high school children were killed. Next one up. Where were you? Not when John Kennedy was assassinated, but where were you when O.J. was found not guilty? All year long, this was going on. All year long. I had a little cartoon I thought was quite cute, and in this cartoon was depicted this guy having O.J. withdrawals, you know, and he was at the television just pleading a sidebar, anything, just O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of killing his wife Nicole Brown and her friend Ronald Goldman, and of course you have to wonder what wealth and justice combined can do. So, next one. November. Yitzhak Rabin, Israel's prime minister, was assassinated by a young zealot, an Israeli who was upset with his talking to the Palestinians for peace. What was so sad is he had just delivered a message, a speech about peace. Next one. November the 8th, Colin Powell has a news conference and he decides not to run for President of the United States, nor any other elected office in 1996. I like Colin. Had he run, I probably would have voted for Colin. I think he had a lot to offer and has a lot to offer. I hope he will run. I would like to hear what he's got to say. And by the way, he is a Republican. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. But I like the things he says. I like his stand. I like the way he presents himself. He moves with excellence. I like Colin. I like him. Listen to him when he talks. Listen to him. He's got something to say. November, next one. In Dayton, Ohio, of all places, they came and they signed the peace treaty for Bosnia. But worked into that, NATO agrees to send 60,000 troops, of which one-third, 20,000, will be American soldiers. And, of course, that was talked about a little bit, but President Clinton got it through. And today, and that was the last one, correct? There's another one. Sports. Okay, yeah. Just a second. And then today, they're there. They've just built the bridge across. They're now rolling tanks in Bosnia at Tuzla. And we have boys and girls that'll spend their New Year's in Bosnia. Okay. That was kind of the year in review for the world. Now we'll look at sports real quickly. Just lay it up there. I don't want to go through a bunch of pictures and things, but we'll just put it up there. There you go. Quickly, San Francisco 49ers won the Super Bowl. Michael Jordan returned to basketball. Mike Tyson returned to boxing. Monica Seles returned to tennis. Baseball began with the players still on strike with substitute players. Remember that? Remember that? And the regular players were all mad at the substitute players. Remember that? Huh. Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games. The Cleveland Indians had a phenomenal year, but not quite good enough. Yay! That was the scene in my living room the night that the Atlanta Braves won the 1995 World Series. It really was. I thought about that. I get excited about Jesus. But I was beside myself that night. We'd waited all those years, you know. Okay. Greg Maddux won his fourth straight Cy Young Award. And, of course, there was basketball and all those other things, too. Okay. No, just leave it on. I'm going to be up there with some other stuff in just a second. But that's all I need you for. Thank you. Now. All that was good, huh? Refresh your minds. Tell you of the world we live in. I called elders and got some of them to get back with me about what they felt like and talked to Judy about what they felt like was accomplished here at the church at Lafayette this year. And the response was good. Very good. As I told you earlier, one said that he had really been stirred in his giving and had gotten challenged, and he became bold in his giving. One was talking about how they felt like that the expansion of our school was really good, and that the theme that we took on for the year had really motivated him, and evangelism. But what I want to do is, if you're not in a house of the Lord that's doing something and accomplishing something, then you should consider finding one that is. Because I really believe that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is here to do something. Amen? It's more than a place just to come in on Sunday mornings and meet, and that's all good. But if we're not doing something outside of here, then we're really not doing what we're here to do, because he didn't say go into Lafayette. He says go into Lafayette and into Walker County and into Georgia and into uttermost parts. And so what we've got to do is to reach out and reach our world. And so the church is here to salt and to bring light to a community and to an area and to do things. It's just to do things. And so I was looking, and I wanted to see what we have done. And so, of course, I have availability to more records than the others do. And I just wanted to share these things with you. One thing we're going to do this coming year is we've got to take more pictures. We used to take a lot of pictures. We used to video all of our services and do those things, and then I had it all down. But we need to start taking pictures, and so we need to somebody remember nearly every service to take pictures, especially when we're doing something special like tonight. And you have invited everybody to come tonight to the New Year's party. We're going to have a big blast tonight, and we need pictures of that. And we need to be able to go back and rehearse with pictures. And oh, I remember that. How many of you were stirred in your remembrance as I showed you those shots, those photos of what had happened in our world? So you wouldn't be stirred to think about those things had you not had something to stir you. And I thought Judy did really well. She was able to go back. She takes notes every service and writes down specific things that are happening. And so she was able to go back into her notes and go all the way through. And she was able to concisely bring it down as she looked back. And you were stirred up, were you not? When I first asked her, she said, I just don't know if I can think or remember much. But as she went back and as she began to look, she was really stirred up. She says, man, well, this has been really good. This has been really good. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Get you a notepad and bring, you might not take much, you might not write much, but at least you'll write something. And then you'll go back and you'll see, and you'll be stirred in your remembrance. You'll find out if you're dead or you're alive. If you're in a dead place or an alive place, or if something's happening inside of you. If you're in the grave, a living grave, or if you're really out in the world doing something. We began the year with Holy Communion. The first service that we had in 1995 was the Holy Communion service. I wore the vestments and we did the service, and we come to the altars and we spent time and we sought the Lord. And that was the first service. Lance began teaching on Wednesday nights in 1995 while we were doing those Wednesday night times. And then we decided that what we wanted to do was really reach out to the children. And so we began the Air Force and the children's ministry. But in January, Paula and Lance and Steve and Doug and Linda and Nikki went to Louisiana for a home church seminar. I resigned from the Ministerial Association. And we had Eleanor Lewis here with the temperaments teaching. Remember that? She came in with her team, and they did the temperaments and taught us about the melancholy and the sanguinean and the phlegmatic and the, one more, choleric. I would forget that one. And we had that, you know, and this was off the springboard of what we had already talked about, what I had shared with you. Then in February, there was the elders' retreat. We all went, husbands and wives and Lance went to Gatlinburg, and we spent time in Gatlinburg together and seeking the Lord and talking about things. And then we had a lady from the pregnancy center to come, and I didn't remember his name, but we gave them $300 towards that ministry. In March, Leonard Zebart came. Remember Leonard? He had been here during the revival of 94, and it was really a hyena, and it was so sweet. We had him to come back, and he shared about his ministry that he does, and where? Haiti, and he talked about that and the children and those things that he was doing. We were able to give into Leonard's ministry as a missionary. And now Leonard, I don't know if we've told you this or not, But Leonard is now with Dwayne Swilly, who has begun a church in Miami, Florida. They have a church. They began one, and then they merged with a 600-member church, I think. And now they're together in Miami, Florida. So that's what Leonard's doing now. We purchased the phone for the altars in March. Hey, you got to start, right? You got to start. I meant to strike that one off. I really did. In April, we started the Air Force type ministry. Jewel took the children on Easter to the park and had their thing. The ladies had a retreat with New Life, and we began our fifth Sunday night life group times. I skipped one, didn't I? Yeah, that's right. I skipped two of them then. Oh, one of them, yeah, that's right. All right. In January, we began them, and we went bowling. That's right. In April, that was our second one, and we went skating. You remember that? So we were doing some stuff. All right, skating party. All right, then Mitch and Andrea moved up in May. We had the revival, the 95 revival with Wayne William and James and Angela. Remember that? And in 2 weeks' time, you gave $11,300 towards the saving of souls. I want you to know that. That was given to missionaries towards the saving and the salvation of souls. Amen? And by the way, James is also down with Dwayne and them, right? James is down there also. In June, we had the lady back from Underground Evangelism. They are the ones that give Bibles, right? And they're the ones that you went with first. They're not. That's right. That's right. That's right. You went. But they're the ones that give Bibles away. And so we were able to give into that. Angie and Jason got married. Right. And then we took evangelism as our theme for 95. July, Diane Gaskin and Joe got married. We had our school graduation. And we got the glass broke in the front of the building. And we had our third, I guess it was, our third fifth Sunday night service and went to the Highland Club. Remember that? Good. In August, cranked up the school again. This time it was doubled of what it was last year. We went from like 18 or 20 to around 40. We had to get Grace Burney to come and help us. Amen. And we celebrated our 10th year of ministry. Judy and I in the ministry, 10 years. September, we began the 11-week John study. Missy Bean, yeah, yeah. Missy Bean got married. Jason, another Jason. Began practice for the super gift from heaven. Steve Lytle went to Albania. Now, I don't know if you realize how huge that is. What did I do? What did I do? Is something wrong? Okay. Don't read ahead. But since his going to Albania, we've really been able to do some things that transcend our understanding. Really, that's one of the amazing things that the Lord lets us do. Us, all the way to Albania, fixing up a classroom for some children, showing them the love of Jesus Christ, taking care or help supporting a ministry there, a missionary who is there. That's just amazing. But we sent Steve to Albania in September. You got your new church directories in September. And the pastor got a new car. Yeah. In October, we had Philip from India to come, and he and Jeff McCullough came up from Griffin, and he ministered to us that day. We had the fifth Sunday gathering of the witnesses here in October. Remember that a couple of months back when it was the Halloween thing, and we opened up the front and turned the speakers on and had people just coming through? I don't know. We must have had 300-400 people maybe just coming through, just having a time. Yeah. Yeah, and we had the Gideons to come, remember? And they gave over 200 Bibles away here. Amen. That's great. That's great. That's great. Let's see. November, we finished the John study. Gave out the certificates. We ordained Lance. Ordained Lance. In December, they had the ladies' lunch and did the super gift from heaven. We got new altars. And then we're going to have the thing tonight. Is that good? That's just that. Now let me give you this, okay? We've had several weddings this year. We had one funeral. You've had many baby dedications, among which were Sarah, him, Reed Garzone, Christian Bielchis, Chloe. I say it fast because... and Emily Marie Wilson. Had a bunch of folks baptized. I was afraid to try to list them simply because I knew I'd leave somebody out. But we must have baptized close to 50 people, I suppose, this year. I can't tell you of the people that you have helped through your almsgiving. And then sometimes if it wasn't in the alms, then we would take it out of the other treasury that we have, the general account. But I want you to understand some things. I went back and I just looked at some things that we had given to and where the checks went and what they were for as I would record it and as I would go back. And I just want you to kind of look at some things that you've done for people, just for people that you know, people you don't know, people that might have just been traveling through and needed to get home for Christmas. I want you to understand what you're doing. You've purchased groceries for people. You've paid light bills. You've paid phone bills. Now, that might not sound like you should do that. But when you've got an old man at home, and any minute something could happen, and his phone doesn't work, and you got an aged person, and they're sick, and they can't pay their phone bill, and you're able to do that for them, I want you to know that's special. That's special. Paid phone bills. We've clothed people. We've bought diapers. Again, you shouldn't do that. Well, yes, you should. I mean, the situation you have to look at, you've got to understand what's going on in the situation. You know, a baby needs its bottom clothed, right? And if the daddy has taken off and left the mama, and there's no support, there's not even a way to buy diapers for the baby, we can do that. We can do that. We can show in some simplicity. You've purchased medicine. You've paid back taxes for people who are about to lose their houses. Now, you'd say, well, we shouldn't do that. Yes, you should, because you don't know the story. You don't know the story. You don't know how a man left his family behind, not even knowing that the taxes were due. And that this family is about to be kicked out into the streets. You got to do that. You've purchased an alternator for a lady in your body that couldn't get to work. You've given money when there was no income for a family. We had a family in our church at this time. And he was trying to work, but there was no income. What he was doing was not being productive. They couldn't buy groceries. They had turned their telephone off. It was bad. And we were able to get them groceries, get their phone back on, and do some neat things for that family. And that was a family in our body. You've ministered to the youth. A lot of the stuff that we do in ministry, like what Steve was doing on Wednesday nights, and Lance was doing on Wednesday nights with the what's I'm doing back with sports? Have I gotten lost? Anyway, that came out of the almsgiving and the giving that you do here. Okay, you've given baby showers, and down further, I also tell you, you've given wedding showers. Now, that's important to those folks. But I do want to go ahead while I have it up here and tell you that we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to do the baby showers and wedding showers anymore. We just really want that to be taken care of in another way, in another dimension. It's caused some problems, but at the same time, it's been a blessing. But I just want to take the opportunity to say that we've done it for 10 years. We've given a lot of baby showers. We've given a lot of wedding showers. But we're going to let that be taken care of in another way now. You've paid doctor bills. You've paid hospital bills. You've sent flowers, haven't we, Sheila? You've sent flowers and sent flowers and sent flowers. You've helped people that were in prison, and then you've helped them once they got out of prison. You've helped people get home for Christmas. You've sent people to Albania. You've fixed classrooms in Albania. You've supported missionaries in Albania. You've given to India. You've given to Christian International. You've given to Wayne Williams Ministry. You've given to Bulgaria. You've paid for Bibles that's been given away. That's what you've done. It stirs me up. Stirs me up. In preaching. What all have we done in preaching? Well, we talked about tithes, offering, and alms a lot. And I would hear people say, oh, my God, when's he going to quit? Well, I really believe it should be done with faith. And if you're just doing it just to do it, then we're missing the whole point of why we do it. And that God wants us to prosper. And if you sow a tomato, you're going to get tomato. If you sow money, you're going to get. And you got to learn how to do it in faith and expecting it to produce, and what it's about and how to do it properly, to do it the way the Lord says to do it, so that He can and will bless it. He wants to. We've been taught about water baptism. We've been taught about the great exchange and the promises of God, how He became so that we could become. He became sin so we could become what? The righteousness of God. He became poor so that we could become rich. By His stripes we are. And what He became, there was an action for it and a counteraction. With every action, there's a reaction. And what happened in the realm of the Spirit when Jesus Christ was bruised is we were healed. And we need to understand that and draw on that and walk on that. We talked a lot about the personality temperaments. We talked about the anointing of God. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath. There's an evidence when the anointing is upon a place. An anointing is no more than an environment being set. I really believe that it's my purpose and the eldership's purpose and the leadership's purpose of this place to provide an environment so that when you come in here, you get ministered to. I can't do it other than just preaching it, but the Holy Ghost, if we provide an environment where He can move upon you. He can heal your body. He can save your marriage. He can get your kids straightened out. Come on. He can take bad things and make good things out of them. But it's by the anointing that all of these things do. And there must be an anointing and an expectancy when we come into a place that the environment will be created and set up so that the Holy Ghost can move. That's why we praise. That's why we give. That's why we do things, is to establish the environment so that the Holy Spirit can move. And that's going to be our theme this year, is it not? And the Spirit of God moved. Come on. The Spirit of God moved. One more time. The Spirit of God moved. The first mention of the Holy Ghost in the Bible is the Spirit of God moved. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Ghost moved. The Spirit of God moved. Upon my voidness and upon my darkness, He began a creation within me. And the first day He created, He said, let there be. And the second day, let there be. And the creation goes on and on and on within you. He's still moving upon you, hovering over you, protecting you and taking care of you. The Spirit of God moved. Amen. Church growth. We talked about church growth. What is a church? What does a church do? What is a church for? What is there about church growth? Fasting. We talked about fasting before the revival. And we talked about evangelism a lot last year. Now, all this was a year of change. Now, in 1995, the church at Lafayette ends. In 1996, it is Life Gate Church. The sign will change in the front. The logo will change. But it will now be Life Gate Church. Next week, I plan on ministering about identity changes. When the Spirit of God moves upon a place, that thing will change. The Spirit of God moved upon the creation, and what happened? Did it change? Yes, right. The darkness and the voidness became something productive. Amen. Jacob was changed to Israel. Simon was changed to Saul was changed to. And when God moves upon something, it's going to change. And its identity, its personality, everything about it is going to change. Remember Lot's wife. What can you expect in 96? I want to do some remodeling. I want to take down those awnings in front. I want to put something up there that depicts something totally different. I want to change this and make it look different. I want to pave the parking lot. But what I want to do is I want to start some churches. That is a part of our vision that we've not yet grasped and been able to step into. But I really believe that we can do it. That we can start churches. We're looking at Nashville. We're looking at Rome. We want to make an impact in the kingdom of God. If we can affect Albania, we can do something in Nashville. And so, be in prayer, but this is what we can expect. The Lord causes us to remember things. He brings to our remembrance. He says, do this in remembrance. Everything we do should be in remembrance of Him. 1995 has been a wonderful year. But the way I want to close today is not in just remembering what we have done, but I want to bring you to a place of challenging you as you walk out these doors. What are you, personally, not us as a body, Is your relationship with Jesus Christ going to increase? Will you make that a resolution? Will you make that a goal, a point? Or will you still be wrestling with your own flesh exactly in the same dimension that you are right now? You will be wrestling with your flesh, but it doesn't have to be in the same dimension that it is right now. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, I don't know you. Now, you didn't do the will of the Father, of course. And that was the evidence. There was nothing productive out of their life. There was nothing done. But the whole thing began with, I don't know you. I don't know you. But Lord, we cast out devils. We done a lot of religious stuff. We did miracles. We did all this stuff. We did this great stuff. We did a lot of great stuff last year. But do we know Him? I got the Holy Ghost then. Do you individually know Him? If we corporately cannot know Him unless you individually know Him. Are you having a relationship with Jesus Christ? He says, I don't know you, but Lord, you can do a lot of good stuff, but it doesn't mean anything, Galen, if we don't know Him. Is your relationship, or are you still going to be fighting with your spouse? Are you still going to be fighting with your finances like you are? What are you going to do in your life in 1996 that's going to bring you closer and more into the kingdom of God, or more of the kingdom of God into you? And I think that the way I want to bring this to a conclusion today, we've looked at the world. We've looked at what our church has done. You're in a functioning church. You're in a church that's doing something. We're moving. But in 1996, we want to see and the Spirit of God moved. We want to know Him in a dimension that we've never experienced before. We want to see Mark out of that wheelchair running and praising and worshiping God. We want to see blinded eyes. We want to see the Spirit of God come upon darkness. What about you personally? Will you, as we close, make a commitment? Jesus, this time next year, I will know you better than I know you today. I will commit myself to talking with you and walking with you and having a relationship with you. For out of that, and only out of that, will the will of God be accomplished for your life. You cannot know the will of God if you don't know Him. Amen? Let's stand. What I would like to do, I'd like everybody here, visitors and all, because I think that it fits everybody. Would you move all this for me? I'd like everyone just to come down.